Next on BYU Sports Nation, Game Day. We go all access with Bronco Mendenhall and ESPN's color commentator tonight, plus four changes we expect to see from the Cougars. And women's soccer and volleyball crush it again, and it's a Logan takeover. Let's go.
This is BYU Sports Nation, brought to you by the BYU Store, simulcast on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Now, from Studio B, here's Jerem Jordan and Brian Logan.
Holler! BYU Sports Nation is live, presented by the BYU Store, your home for authentic BYU products. Friday, October 24th, Game Day!
Game Day!
Game Day!
Let's go defense! Let's go defense!
Oh, we're doing it again.
Gotta do it twice.
I still feel like the Lego movie when the 80s something guy with the spaceship's like, I can build a spaceship?
Spaceship! Game day! They're like, remember that pause? Like, yeah, you can build it. Yeah, go ahead.
What?
And he's like, what?
No one's gonna stop me?
Game day? What?
It's Charlie from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Everything is awesome! When is game day?
There are some who still don't believe in the BYU Sports Nation karma, believe it or not.
Make doubters believers.
Yesterday, yeah. Jennifer Rockwood, women's soccer coach, was on BYU Sports Nation. We gave her the karma. BYU beat Santa Clara 5-2. 5-2! First win ever against the Broncos.
It's
that
like
was
a baseball score.
And so, at Bryson Webster says, the BYU Sports Nation karma joke is getting old. Wasn't funny the first time.
What?
I would have to agree. It's not funny at all. It's a very serious thing.
It's real, yeah.
@Kent_in_Utah responded to Bryson Webster. He said, funny? Karma is serious stuff. 5-2 last night! Hashtag woe to the unbeliever.
Boom! There you have it.
So we thought, you know what? We need our research staff. There's about 20 guys, 20 interns. They're housed in New Hampshire. We had them go back and look at a couple other instances recently if the karma had happened, because we haven't mentioned it very much recently. The week of the UCF game, we gave the karma to Sky Pove. Here's what happens. Sometimes we hand it out. Sometimes they come on the show. We're not saying there's 100% yield, but it happens more often than we think.
Right.
So Sky Pove was on the show the week of the UCF game. He had an interception in the game.
INT.
Last week, on Monday, we chatted with Mitch Matthews. He had 16 catches, the second most in BYU history.
Interesting.
In a game. Listen, we can't fully control it. We don't know exactly how it works, but that it works.
I don't believe in coincidences either.
Qui-Gon Jinn.
I don't believe in coincidences. I don't. I just can't, man.
And we gave it to Michael Alisa this week as well. Just a heads up.
We'll see what Mike's going to do.
And maybe by definition the defense. We'll see what happens.
Five sacks, five forced fumbles, two interceptions, one to the house.
Spencer Linton is on a plane or arriving in Boise today. He will be there for Countdown to Kickoff, which you can watch tonight at 8 Eastern time. So Brian and I steering the ship today on a Friday. Game day. Join our conversation 24/7 using the hashtag BYUSN with today's Twitter question. It's our game day question. What is your bold prediction for BYU versus Boise State? @MatthewWEvans. Bold prediction? BYU doesn't blow a fourth quarter 2-touchdown lead. Hashtag optimistically uncertain.
That is a hope. That is a wish and a prayer. I'm on the same level.
They haven't been in the fourth. They've been in the third. But they happened. I get it. Yeah. Hashtag optimistically uncertain. That's probably how BYU Sports Nation feels right now.
Yeah. Got you. Why be the other way? Why be mad and, sad? Why not have hope?
You could be like UMass and be like 2-5. I'm just saying. Like, BYU's 4-3. Yes, they've lost 3 in a row, but they've got an opportunity
still
tonight.
Go to a bowl game. You got fun.
That's not a big deal anymore.
Have fun.
Yes. That is the goal. That is the
have
goal of BYU
fun.
Football and this show. BYU Sports Nation is simulcast in Radio Vision on BYU Radio and BYU TV. Rise and shout! It's time for What's Trending.
What's trending in BYU Sports Nation? Topic 1.
Four changes we expect to see tonight. Bronco Mendenhall, Craig Bills, Bronson Kafusi, Jamal Williams. Let's start with Bronco Mendenhall. BYU defense struggling right now. Bronco Mendenhall, will he be more involved with the defense? This is what he told Spencer earlier this week.
He's inherited a defense with one less coach that had all the experience, basically, of play calling and coordinating. So that coach left the room, which was me. And then he's now got a younger group with an ever-changing target of injuries and et cetera. And I've never seen anyone work harder than what he has worked. And whatever adjustments we do end up coming up with will be to help our team and our players.
That's his goal as the head coach. Hear more of and the rest of that conversation in 23 minutes right here on BYU Sports Nation. Bronco Mendenhall on the Coaches Show Wednesday. Quote, "It is different this week. My number one objective is to help our players have success. Really what I ask Coach Hal to do is take on a less experienced, with more injury, system of defense, with one less coach and less experience. So do more with less is what I asked." You played for Bronco Mendenhall. Based on that soundbite and quote, what does that mean to you?
Well, I mean, the one thing that really stands out as far as what he said and kind of, you know, how he wants this week to go as far as the defense and the practice is, you know, he's going to want to play a bigger role. You know, wanting to play a bigger role,
wanting
to play a bigger
role. Certainly.
And so to me, it's okay, how do you play a bigger role than the role that you're already playing right now?
I can only think of one thing.
Me too.
Be involved in the play calling of the defense.
Right, exactly. Because as a head coach, your job is exactly what he just said. My job is to help players and to help coaches, you know, get into situations that's going to, you know, give them success, bring them success on the field and off the field. That is my job as a head coach. So how more involved can I get than that? Which is, you know, actually being in the detail of the of the defensive play calling. Now, do you always talking about, you know, taking over the defense? No. I'm not talking about that. We're talking about him being involved, more involved in the play calling. An example, you know, maybe him and Coach Howe are linked together on the headsets when Coach Howe is calling a play in. And maybe Coach Mendenhall says, you know what? They've been doing ABC throughout the whole game. What if we switch it up and go and call this play? I think this play would work a little bit better in this situation, this scenario.
He's the boss.
Right.
Why wouldn't he get more involved in a three-game losing streak where BYU has given up 30-plus for the first time in 21 years? Why wouldn't he get involved?
It's all so familiar. I'm grabbing you. You got nice biceps, by the way.
Thank you.
It's all so familiar.
2010, you had this experience.
Yes, four games.
Granted, it was different. It was worse. BYU has a winning record right now.
Right.
BYU isn't 1-4. They're 4-3.
That's the difference. But who's to say Coach Mendenhall has said, wow, I've seen this before. I've seen this happen four straight.
A struggle. I'm going to insert myself to help. Why wouldn't he?
Yeah, why not? Why not help? And for Coach Howe, why not want to get that help, right? I mean, you have a all-star, just a stud in Coach Mendenhall. I mean, you've learned from this guy for, you know, 5, 6, 7 years of you being around the program. Why not have him help you, you know, take your hand a little bit more? The best experience is not, for me, the way I learned it was when
you handed it.
When I learned it, the best way for me was when I was actually going through it, rather than somebody sitting there doing X's and O's and, you know, I'm looking at a piece of paper.
Yes.
And so why not be in a situation, a live environment, where you see something happen that and something's going on, Coach Mendenhall inserts himself, gives you some expertise, and then that's a mental note. That's something that you can write down. Oh, okay. My next game or my next future games, I should probably do this because of the situation that I've learned here in the past. And so I think it's amazing. I would love to see that happen. And Coach Howe isn't a bad coach at all. I think what this does too is it takes a little bit of pressure off of him because he has some help.
Yeah.
And I don't mean pressure from the fans. You know, a lot of fans are saying, deep dot, boop, bop, and deep, bop, bop, boop, bop, bop. That was a nice rap.
That sounds accurate.
That was nice. And so I'm not talking about pressure from the fans. I'm talking about pressure from, okay, calling the game and then teaching my DBs fundamentals, right?
Yeah.
Now I get to be involved with my DBs. When we got off the field, okay, what did you guys see? Brian, what did you see? What are they doing? How can I help you? Maybe he can't do that with his group. He has to do it with the defense as a whole. But he can't do it with his group. So that's what I mean by taking pressure off of him as far as position mastery with his DBs.
It's hashtag team defense. It really is. And Bronco Mendenhall is exactly right. He said to Nick Howell, okay, I'm gonna step out of this, but Bronco's not saying this. I'll say it for him. I'm the most experienced one
right.
in this defense.
Yes.
It's my defense. You're going to steer the ship, but I still own the ship.
Right.
I'm still the captain of the ship. You're just steering it.
I still owned it. I'm still owned it, man.
And it's, yes. And
I still owned it.
owned it. He had it.
I had
it. That's the number one thing we expect to see different tonight is more involvement from Bronco Mendenhall in that defense. There was a tweet about 10 minutes ago from Michael Elisa. He said, he's a football coach, a father figure, a role model, and a friend. I'd run through a wall for this man. It's a picture of Michael Elisa and Bronco Mendenhall hugging. I think that right now the BYU defense senses some kind of increased involvement, and there's new life. That game for you guys was San Diego State in 2010. What kind of difference was that when Bronco Mendenhall had more involvement?
Man,
what did you feel?
It was I felt a. This is gonna sound cheese balls. It's gonna sound so cheesy. I felt literally a spiritual connection throughout the whole entire team.
It was emotional.
It was emotional, and we played emotional, and how I mean, Coach Mendenhall coached, and we all wore our t-shirts, our Band of Brother t-shirts. You know, they rolled out the gray Band of Brother t-shirts that you kind of still see now. Yes, that started in 2010 with us. I want to take credit for that. And we stripped the old gray t-shirts. Everybody wore them, from the water boys to Coach Mendenhall. Coach Mendenhall ended up getting fined by Nike because he didn't wear.
Really?
He didn't wear. He said, you know what? They wanted me to wear this. They were mad. They were mad that I wore this with you guys. But you know what? We're a family. We're a band of brothers. We're a team. And you know what? To heck with them. I'm wearing this. Let's go. Ah, we were all juiced and jumping up and down.
I'm wondering if he said to heck, but
no,
yeah.
No, he didn't say that. That's the PG-13 version.
Okay, so that's one of four changes we expect, and that's the biggest difference I think you could see of anything is more involvement from Bronco. Number two, Craig Bills. Craig Bills needs to pass protocol to be able to play in tonight's game, but it's expected that he'll do so, which brings us to the stat of the day.
It's the BYU Sports Nation stat of the day.
45. Craig Bills will play in his 45th game tonight as a BYU Cougar.
Man.
He makes a huge difference in that defense. The leader.
45. That is something you can't teach. You can't teach experience, man. 45 games under your belt. 45 offenses and schemes and players and personnel. I mean, you talk about getting guys in the right positions to make the right plays. It all starts with that free safety. He's another coach. And so when you look at some small, minor things that these players are not doing, execution, things like that, one reason is communication. And it makes sense if you don't have a guy, a leader, another coach to get, you know, to make those right calls and adjustments to get them in the right place. So
big hitter, get some picks sometimes.
And
he's
then when guys are down, hey, step this up. Come on, I'm not going out like this.
BYU needs Craig Bills. That's
yes.
Number two.
Leadership.
Number three, Bronson Cafusi. I think we're going to see an evolved role from Bronson Cafusi, where we see him on the D-line, maybe in passing situations.
Yes, you saw every here and there, right, sprinkled in.
Not linebacker, hand in the ground. I'm talking he's actually one of the D-linemen.
Yes, well, actually one of the defensive linemen. And I think this is why. When you had we're speculating and talking about Coach Mendenhall being a little bit more involved with the play calling, and when he took over 2010, he put in 15 new blitzes that we ran that week against San Diego State, and so we know Coach Mendenhall dials up pressure, and so when you have guys, I think guys like Fred Warner, Michael Elisa has proven themselves coming off the edges, being able to fly, you know. With that 4.3 speed, no, more like 4.6. But you know, fly off fly off the edges, and get to the quarterback. Why not have your best 11 players on the field, maximize the potential, put guys like that at the edge, and then put Bronson, you know, back on the line.
LeBronson, that's number three. Number four is Jamal Williams. If Jamal Williams can play tonight and be a part of that BYU offense that put up 600 yards of total offense against Nevada. I think that's a confidence boost to the BYU offense.
You automatically increase the swag just by having Jamal back.
J-Swag Daddy.
That's it. Just simply that is why you want that kid back. No, just the the energy and how electric he is. It doesn't matter if he gets 2 yards or if he gets 20 yards. He's going to get up and he's going to dance and he's going to be juiced and he's going to be passionate. And that, my friend, is something that you cannot teach. That is something that you want your whole team to catch on fire from. And you give that quick change of back. You get that burst, that extra speed. So you have the ground and pound game with Paul Lasique. Then you come and switch it up with Jamal, switching it up. Nate Carter. I love Nate Carter. Yeah. JC guy, 5'6". That's my best friend.
You love best the JC friend. Guys. So those are the four changes we expect to see tonight. Bronco Mendenhall more involved in the defense. Craig Bills. Bronson Kafusi.
Bills.
Jamal Williams. Dallas. Our Twitter question today. What is your bold prediction for BYU versus Boise State? Let's go to the Twitter machine.
It's Twitter time.
At Moe Finn, BYU will hold Boise to under 100 yards rushing.
Ooh,
wow. Jay Ajayi right now averages, agreed. I want to say, a buck 20, a buck 30, 12th in the country.
I'm on that right there.
Mm-hmm. Is that a preview tonight? Countdown to kickoff, bold prediction, maybe?
Hillman.
Don't say anything.
Hillman that plays for the Broncos.
Ronnie
Hillman that plays for the Broncos came in averaging over 100 yards a game. We held him to 70.
In that 2010 game. Okay, so that's something to watch.
That's
tonight.
When Coach Mendenhall took over the defense.
The best running back BYU will face this season, in my opinion. At Nick Lee 51, BYU has a lead at some point in the second half. That's not bold. They've had that in the last
Boo.
Two games.
Get bolder. Get spicier.
Here's my bold prediction.
I don't need water after that.
Here's my bold prediction. BYU wins the game. Is that bold enough?
That's
they're on a 3-game win streak.
That's hope.
Only four losses since 2000 by Boise State. I think BYU wins the game. That's my bold prediction.
I think that's kind of bold.
But it's the most meaningful thing possible.
I like it. I like it.
You think of yours. We'll get to yours. Coming up, how does BYU beat Boise State tonight? We'll ask tonight's ESPN color commentator, David Diaz Infante. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Jeremy Jordan and Brian Logan on a game day.
Game day.
BYU at Boise State tonight. Watch countdown to kickoff 8 Eastern time.
I'm waving to my grandma. Hi, Granny. I love you.
What's your grandma's name?
Audrey Sawyer.
Hello, Audrey. How are you?
Breast cancer survivor, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's tremendous. Hey, last night, the women's volleyball team swept LMU. LMU just outside the rankings. They won 12 of 13. We'll talk to head coach Sean Olmstead coming up. And you can watch BYU play Pepperdine tomorrow, 3 Eastern time, live right here on BYU TV. Every week, we get a chance to break down BYU football with a bunch of different people. Sometimes it's Bronco Mendenhall. And he had a lot to say to Spencer Linton, 3-game losing streak. How does BYU right the ship? Here's BYU Football All Access with Bronco Mendenhall.
Bronco, blue turf. One-point losses up there. Mm. What do you remember most about those two games back in 2004 and 2012?
2012, goal line stand.
Naturally.
2004. Four, missing the field goal at the end.
The Matt Payne missed field goal.
Yeah.
Okay, what's a better memory? Matt Payne's delivered hits in 2004 or the goal line stand?
If you would ask me more than one thing I remembered, yeah, then I remembered the killer hits by our kicker on the returner. And then I remember, a hard-fought game and being really proud of our team. And absolutely being certain that we were going to win the game in 2012.
When you're matched up against a team that is 88-4 since 2000 on their home field, I know that's a ridiculous number, but would a win over them, they've never lost on Friday night, would a win over them change the complexity of this season for you and your team?
You know, I think those things are all fun to talk about and think about. It is the next game for us. no matter who we were playing, where we were playing them, our goal is the same, to play really well, to improve our team, to win the game, and then focus on whoever is next after that. So this is just happens. Those are all nice side notes to get others interested in saying it's going to be a bigger game. We're trying as hard as we can, like we did last week. And so it'd be fun if all that happened.
Let's get to 5-3, right?
Exactly right.
Okay. What's been the biggest takeaway for you after 4 wins to open the season? Mm. And now 3 consecutive losses. What has this season done for you as a coach?
Yeah, a bunch. So, number one, it verified just how important a very good quarterback is on any team. So, It was fantastic. I appreciate Taysom even more. It's been really fun to know how much improvement and how hard Christian Stewart is trying and how much he's improved. It's so much fun to think about the second half of Utah State to now the 600 and something yards versus, who did we just play?
Nevada. 601. Yeah. Six.
And so to just say, man, that's a phenomenal thing. So having enough depth at all positions has been a critical thing. And so with not only the position or the injury at quarterback, but with some others, and we've actually managed the injuries pretty well, just close enough in execution to lose an overtime game and be one drive short. Yeah. So, again, continuing to have the right depth at the right positions is really important.
I know there's no real solace in loss, but let's take a wide-angle lens to this. 24 ankle injuries. Mm-hmm. You've had 12 starters injured at one point or another this season. You had 9 out last game. Does it say something that you were in position to win those games? Double-digit leads in the second half of both of the last 2 games, given everything that's gone wrong?
Well, I think that adds or lends itself to the stability. Our athletic director sent me an email this week. Again, I rarely read emails, and I only read ones from really people that I know or what the content will be, either coaches or ESPN or someone still at BYU ranked 32nd or 34th or something like that, acknowledging what you just said. Now, after having said that, to me, we're just barely coming up short. Mm. There's a little bit of room that certainly can be made up to get a win. It'll be more difficult on the road, more difficult on a short week, but still possible. And our team is optimistic. I'm optimistic. And we're hopeful and working really hard. And so from a wide-angle lens, that's all I want every week. And the outside world will judge if we're good or not by the wins or losses, but I like how we're improving. And eventually, the results will come, like they did the first 4 games with that team. Mm. This is a different team, and it's kind of changing week to week. And so we have a little bit of a moving target. My goal is consistency and adjusting the best we can. And, again, we're close.
Because of your history as a defensive guru, you've had great success when you've been in charge of the defense.
Yeah.
Nick Howell's been put in a tough spotlight this year.
Yeah.
Has your role changed at all, or have you just become more of a mentor for Nick as he's gone through some tough times?
I've worked as hard as I can. Number one, I love Nick, and so he's inherited a defense with one less coach that had all the experience, basically, of play calling and coordinating. So that coach left the room, which was me. And then he's now got a younger group with an ever-changing target of injuries and et cetera. And I've never seen anyone work harder than what he has worked. And I've worked and tried to support and help as much as possible in a mentoring role. I love him. I love our defensive staff, and I love our players. And whatever adjustments we do end up coming up with will be to help our team and our players.
From your film review this week of Boise State, what kind of a unique challenge will they present to you on Friday night?
Very similar to what they presented to all the teams that came in to play Boise when Chris Peterson was there and Brian Hartson was there as their coach, the offensive coach. He was at Texas when we went down there, and he had just left prior to the 2012 game, and they were running a similar system. And so you can expect tricks and gadgets and shifting and motioning and illusion and delusion and illusion. I mean, it's fun to play against, and mixed within there, there's some power running elements, and their quarterback is really mobile and active. So against a similar opponent, Nevada, with the game was something like 46-52.
Yeah.
And so ours was relatively high scoring a week ago, so it'll be interesting to see how it shapes up.
Do you have anything that you can eat before the game to calm you down before all this craziness and this trickeration?
The thing that calms you down most is knowing you're prepared.
Yeah.
And maybe not knowing you're prepared, but having a lot of trust that your players are prepared. And we've had a solid week.
You're a very composed coach. That's probably an understatement. I think people like to see you get riled up,
yeah,
like at Boise State when you were doing the celebration after the goal line stand. On the opposite end, when you're really frustrated, have you ever had one of those moments where you have the tip over the Gatorade bucket, or how do you keep from going nuts and when it's super emotional?
Well, there's a couple of things. There are plenty of people that are supporters of myself and BYU, and there are plenty of critics, and so I really like to be just the steady influence of this is who he is, like it or not like it, but at least you're going to know what you get. When I get behind the doors of the locker room with my players, they're entitled, as close to family as you can get, they're entitled to see the other things. And that's what I reserve it for.
That's a fair answer.
Yeah.
You answered that question well without really telling me if you've had one of those moments.
That's exactly right.
That's BYU Football All Access with Bronco Mendenhall. Spencer Linton in Boise. We'll hear from him later tonight on Countdown to Kickoff. Interesting stuff from Bronco Mendenhall. You can see a little bit at why he would be more involved with the BYU defense. We'll get to that in a moment. What is your bold prediction for BYU versus Boise State? Let's go back to the Twitter machine.
You got tweets.
At TashaLynn19, bold prediction equals no injuries.
Ooh.
That's about as bold as it gets right now.
That is bold. No, she should have said no ankle injuries.
Yes,
that would have been bolder.
Specifically ankle.
That would have been boldest.
And someone on Twitter said, at this point, BYU winning the game is bold. And that's what I said. I think that if BYU wins the game, that's a bold prediction.
Oh, ye of little faith.
I'm not. I think that BYU wins the game.
I think you have every right to. You have every right with how they've been playing, yes. But hope! Hope, my friends, hope. Hope. You're hoping?
This week, or...
You're hoping, or are you bold, or is it a bold prediction?
Yes.
Bold prediction. See, when my bold predictions come true, I'm like, what? What? It came true?
Oh, bold. Okay, if you want to... Well,
that's what I mean.
BYU's lost three games in a row. To win at Boise...
I guess you're right.
Yeah. By any margin. And they've lost twice there by 1 point. Is bold to me. At PWNer 1019. Christian Stewart with 500... passing yards. 500 plus. That's really bold.
Ooh, they have a really good secondary.
Give me a couple napkins to wipe my nose and tears.
That means there's
going
to be like 5 Y factors, like winners. Like 10 game changers, the whole offense. Give the award to the offense.
Seriously. At P. Kelly 926, Bronco Mendenhall wears the BYU goggles Spencer Linton gave him after beating Boise by 7 plus. Spencer gave Broncos.
These goggles?
Uh-huh.
Nice.
Spencer took some to Boise. If you find him, hopefully he's got some on him. He'll hook you up with some swag. Go find him and ask him for some blue goggles.
Blue goggles. They should just all put
some wristbands,
all the fans should just have them, and then when they're winning. You know how the fans had like their phone lights, their cell phone lights?
Everyone's
if
got
everybody
some blue
just
goggles.
Puts some blue goggles on.
The blue goggles don't work as well at Boise State.
You're right. Because it's like, wait a minute.
Everything's blue.
Everything's blue.
Again, put a hashtag BYUSN on a sign today. Find our camera down there or show it. Get it on ESPN. Throw a little hashtag BYUSN on there. We'll retweet those today.
Get it, sneak it in.
That'd be awesome. At Kyle Moriyama, Nick Howell or Bronco both tackle Jay Ajayi as he's running down the sideline to prevent a TD. That would be crazy.
That'd be amazing.
That would be crazy.
Awesome.
Coming up, BYU women's volleyball killing it. We'll talk to Sean Olmstead. Plus, we'll rehash what we just saw from Bronco Mendenhall. Will he be more involved in the BYU defense? We expect so.
I hope so.
This is BYU Sports Nation on BYU Radio and BYU TV. BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, your home for authentic BYU products. Follow the show on Twitter, Brian. I know you do. At BYU Sports Nation.
I watched it, you guys. The other day. You guys, look, that was the first time I watched it, you guys.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
that was the first time.
Well, I mean,
I
listen to you guys sometimes.
Okay.
And then
download the podcast.
You know,
that's
downloaded already.
Or Roku or Xbox 360.
But I was at home, you know, getting ready to make my way over here, and I turned you guys on, and I was like, oh man, it really is like radio vision. It's HD. You guys are so clear. You guys look nice. You guys look nice, man.
The trio.
I enjoyed it.
The trio, as you call
it.
Us.
And Blaine was on too.
Blaine was on.
Yes, we are a trio. Yeah.
Tuesday.
We are a trio.
Speaking of trio, there's going to be more than that actually tonight.
Once I get on a billboard, actually.
I think it would be really funny if you were on the billboard in the background, hey, guys, I'm here too, man.
I'm like,
That would be really funny.
I need a stool, though, because I'm kind of short. It'd be like a big drop-off.
I always know when I step into my seat over there. Yeah, I said my seat. And it's like way high. I'm like, oh, who is here? Oh, it was Brian. Yeah,
no,
that was Brian.
Gosh,
it was Brian.
Damn, we think she's tall or something. Gosh.
5'12".
But sting up.
Tonight, countdown to kickoff, 8 Eastern time. That means Brian's going to be here basically all day.
Yes.
We'll get you ready for BYU and Boise State. Spencer's live in Boise. Dave McCann, Blaine Fowler, Brian Logan, David Nixon. That's how they'll sit. That's the order. Tonight, 8 Eastern time on Countdown to Kickoff.
We should go from like shortest to tallest. So we should. Then well, I'd be first.
Is Dave taller than you?
No. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, isn't he?
Everybody's taller than me.
Come on, man.
He asked me like by 2 inches, yeah. I think, or three.
But last week you revealed that you dunked. In your life, you've dunked.
I can dunk, yes.
Now?
I can dunk. No
you
way,
did.
Man.
Yeah.
Too many pursuits.
Too
I had double hernia surgery.
Hey, TMI, man. TMI.
It's bad for
Let's reset some of our trending topics today. We mentioned in the beginning of the show 4 changes we expect to see tonight. Bronco Mendenhall more involved in the defense. Greg Bills playing. Bronson Kafusi in pass rush as a D lineman. And Jamal Williams playing. Also tonight, Jeremy Guthrie is going to start for the Kansas City Royals in Game 3 of the World Series, tied up at 1 apiece, back in San Francisco. Former BYU pitcher getting the start in the World Series tonight. I'm trying to think of how many BYU pitchers have ever done that. I got to say Jack Morris is the other one.
Who are you rooting for?
Maybe Rick Aguilera back in the day. I think the Royals.
You
Giants
think?
Giants have won it a couple of times.
Yeah.
I know one of our graphics guys, David Phillips, huge Giants fan.
I'm a Giants.
Spencer King on our staff has a Giants hat today in the control room.
I'm a Giants fan, but I'm not like a true fan.
Because you're from the Bay Area.
I'm from the Bay Area. I grew up watching the Giants. Yeah. And I mean, like.
So now you're like, on, baby.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So I'm not like a. I can admit it, though. Like, I can admit it. If you ask me, like, name one person on the baseball team,
yeah,
Giants
name
team
right one
now,
on the Giants.
I would say Barry Bonds.
Wow.
Man,
you can't even name the catcher?
Once?
You can't even name the catcher.
I can't name anybody. I'm not a Giants fan. I'm a Giants fan, but I'm not a baseball fan.
I'll give you one. Buster Posey. That's all you need to know.
Okay, thanks. Buster Posey.
It's a dude named Buster.
Bring it on, peoples.
Awesome.
Yes, I'm ready now. I'm equipped to be a Giants fan.
You noted it now.
Yep. I'm just not an A's fan. I don't like the
Oakland
A's and Oakland Raiders, I do not like.
Ooh.
So, yeah.
Our producer, Ben Bagley, a huge Oakland Raiders fan somehow.
We could fight, Ben.
Today's what's your bold prediction for BYU versus Boise State at Blue-Blooded Coug. BYU brings fire and passion that got snuffed in Utah State loss. BYU wins, proves sky not falling. Cougar Nation starts believing.
Agree. I agree with that.
If BYU wins tonight, woo! 180 turn. I love when people say it's a 360 turnaround. You go in the same spot.
Go in 180, yeah.
Yeah, that's a, it's yeah. 180.
Yeah, I just learned that like 2 years ago.
I think you actually corrected me on
that. I agree with that because especially if Coach Mendenhall has – more of an influence in the play calls and has more of a presence, mm-hmm. right? You saw the
you
difference
like
when we came,
chances.
Yeah, you saw when we came out, right, in 2010, there was like a whole different team. Everybody was like, whoa, everybody's celebrating. Everybody's jumping up and down. Everybody's having fun. Sideline is crazy. Just new passion,
That's
new
important.
Energy.
And we saw the passion and energy and insight from Michael Elisa. If that's any indication of how BYU is going to play, wow, they're locked in.
Right.
So we discussed earlier, and we heard from Bronco Mendenhall with Spencer Linton, maybe Bronco Mendenhall has more involvement in the defense this week. And again, I ask, why wouldn't he? BYU has a 3-game losing streak. Joe Tessitore of ESPN was on BYU Sports Nation in week 2 of the show last year and said that Bronco Mendenhall and Gary Patterson are two of the best defensive minds in college football.
Yes.
Why wouldn't BYU use that now? After a 3-game losing streak.
The only reason, and it's not even good, is when you talk about a game manager, right? The head coach for a football team is the game manager. You know, clock, timeouts. He's looking at, okay, do I want to go on 4th and 1? Hey, Coach and I, 4-down territory here. Those things are where he gets taken out.
Was BYU vastly improved this year in those things by Bronco not being involved in the defense?
Not vastly.
I didn't notice at all.
I didn't notice at all. There were some things like timeouts. Well, and the only reason why I noticed him because he's like doing like a 40-yard sprint down the field, you know, like almost pulled a hamstring.
Some safety jets from snow in Oregon State.
Man.
Oh, by the way, I heard this one time. Bronco Mendenhall was actually a decent baseball player, recruited and thought about going to Utah for baseball.
Ooh.
Didn't go. But thought about
man,
it.
Man, I'm happy he didn't. I wouldn't be here right now, would you? That's, man. No baseball, football.
You wouldn't be here if Bronco Mendenhall hadn't been here?
Nope.
He won you over in the recruiting.
He did. I was going to Utah State, man.
Really?
I was gone.
Wow.
I was gone.
Real talk with Brian Logan.
I told Gary Anderson, I was like, I'm here. He was like, go up to BYU and see. I'm like, no. I want to go to the NFL. I want to go to the NFL.
You told me. Did you mean CFL?
He told me. He said, I can get you to the NFL, not CFL. He's like, we're going to blitz you. He's like, you're 5'6". You can't get to the NFL like just playing corner, playing a watered-down defense. We're going to play man. We're going to play you a nickel. We're going to blitz you a nickel. You're going to play safety. You're going to come off the edge. You're going to do all these crazy things. He's like, you tackle really well. I'm going to have you drop down in the box. This is literally what he was saying. I'm like, oh, my gosh. He gets me.
And then?
He's like, you're going to return kicks. I'm going to get your stock up. Yeah.
He said return kicks.
You're going to return kicks. I did. I returned kicks. My JC highlight show returning kicks. He's like, we're going to do everything that we can to get you noticed. And then Coach Mendenhall's first, that was my first conversation. Coach Mendenhall's conversation was going to make you, his first thing he asked me was, where do you see yourself in 10 years? I'm like, I don't know, man. NFL, hopefully. I'm going to make you a better father. I'm going to make you a better husband. And I'm like, I don't even have kids. Or I'm not even married. So, I mean, the words he said really stuck out to me. Hmm. So, if there was another coach at BYU at the time that didn't say those words, I don't know.
Let me ask you this. You talk a lot about the influence that Bronco Mendenhall has had on your life. Does he have the influence to where if he gets more involved that the defense completely changes tonight? Like where motivation is at a peak level?
It does because that man is scary. Like, I mean, Michael Lisa has talked about it a number of times.
In a positive way or?
He's scary in a positive way where he doesn't have to say anything to you. He gave you that look. He kind of tilts his head to the side. And he kind of looks at you from the side, like a 45-degree angle. And then you're like, oh, don't look at me. Like, hey, step in front of me. Somebody come in front of me. Don't look at me. Don't look at me.
He's like Cyclops that burning right there, lasers.
Dude, in 2010, when he took over the defense and Coach Howe, we were doing position drills. And I'm not going to lie. I was going like 50%. And then Coach Mendenhall would walk over it. And I'm like, go. Come on, guys. Let's go. And he just does that. Like, he's like, he makes you work hard when you don't want to work hard.
Book of Mormon reference. He and people had made fun of him for sort of this kind of reference, but I think there's value in this. Sort of a Captain Moroni guy. The leader who is a little different than, he's not like buddy-buddy all the time with you guys, right? The fact that there's some separation when he comes into the room or the drill, it changes. If he's involved in the defense, what kind of change could we expect tonight?
Well, I mean, you don't want to disappoint him.
Yeah.
You play at your highest level at all times. If it's practice, if it's in the film, we're going over plays and adjustments and strategy, or if it's on the field in game, you want to play to your highest ability. That's what he does. That's why he's so great, is that he gets a player to play at their highest level. Every single play, snap.
That's a great coach. You just defined great coach.
Yes, exactly. And that's why he's done a great job with half the talent that he's had in previous years. David Nixon all the time says
half the talent.
We didn't have half the talent in you guys, Brian Keel. Talent you guys had. Me when I graduated, going back to Kyle Van Noy, those guys. We didn't have half of what you guys have. Preston Hadley saying it to these guys now. We don't have half the talent you guys have. And so a coach will find a way to win. A great coach will find a way to win by getting his players on one accord and bringing the best out of them. And so now you have the talent with a good coach that's involved more. And who knows? Maybe it's day and night.
Despite injuries.
Yes, despite injuries.
Thank you for giving us a piece of what it's like to be in there in a drill.
You are welcome.
Going 50%.
You just got to have each other's back, man. Hey, coach coming. All right, snap your helmets on. Mouthpiece in.
Everyone can relate to that.
Go fast now. Go fast.
In some way.
Go fast. Put the water bar down. Put the water.
It's game day against Boise State. Can't wait for that game. 8 Eastern time, countdown to kickoff. That's just a taste of what Brian brings to the table on countdown to kickoff. That's just a taste.
Hey, coming up. I have a taste of Gushers right now.
Nice. The BYU women's volleyball team is crushing right now. Won 12 of the last 13. They're the top blocking team in the country.
Wow.
What are they doing so well? We'll ask the head coach, Sean Olmstead. Maybe give out some karma. Guaranteed to wear neon. That's coming up next.
Yes.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, your home for authentic BYU products. Game day, BYU and Boise State. The women's soccer team beat the Santa Clara Broncos last night. BYU head coach is Bronco. Winning all tonight, it's BYU versus the Boise State Broncos. 8 Eastern time, countdown to kickoff. Get ready for that. One thing that's great about BYU athletics, the athletic program is solid as a whole.
Yes.
It's not just football and hoops. I love that women's soccer is ranked 17th right now, 10-game win streak. And that leads us to women's volleyball. Head coach Sean Olmstead now joins us. 12th in the country, just 3 losses on the year, 17-3. Things are going well for you guys.
Yeah, I can't complain. We're happy with where we're at. We're excited.
I want to describe to the radio listeners what you're wearing right now. what does your shirt say?
I'm supporting El Clasico, so this is Barcelona. I've got to support my Argentina compadres, Messi, and some of those guys. Mm-hmm. They're playing, and I think the Clasico's this weekend.
Did you go on your mission there?
I did. Nice. I did, and so I've been back quite a few times actually since, and I love it, and if I can watch, I'll sit down and watch soccer maybe more than any other sport.
Wow.
So,
and then you've got an orange hat.
Peter might not like it, but I'm supporting the Deer Hunters right now. You know, it's almost over.
They need support.
The little kids out there, a lifetime memory right there. And so I just try to keep it real for you guys. And I brought you guys some gear. But it has to be in a nice color, you know. So
pink.
Yeah, we had some larges I thought would fit you guys.
Can I take one of these?
Yeah, but
sorry,
you know, you're a little bit. Spencer's left out. I'm gonna
have to. Spencer's gone.
But you know, you're a little stronger than Spencer, so I wasn't planning on that. Hey. So you can work out in that.
Yes.
Maybe cut the sleeves off.
You know what? Normally when we get gifts from guests, I pass it on because I'm the third guy. But this right here, I'm gonna give this to my grandma. I gave a shout out to my grandma.
Okay.
She's a breast cancer survivor.
Awesome.
So.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, this shirt is for you.
Wonderful.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Sorry, Spencer.
Before we get to more important topics, less important topics maybe, when did you start liking neon? Because you're wearing pink, you got orange.
Did you see my shoes? My shoes are flower. They've got flower pattern.
Yes.
I mean, you
got
to zoom in
on
those.
Green, neon green
but it's
orange.
Got flower pattern on them. So they're impressive. Very impressive.
You did not disappoint.
No. Those are big time right there.
Interviewing some of your players, we were kind of joking and clowning around. And I'm like, do you guys ever clown on him or anything like that? You know, with his neon backpack and stuff. Man. Swag right here, man.
Swag daddy's got nothing
swag,
on this. Right?
Nothing. Nothing. You're like right here, Coach. You're like right here, and Jamal's like right there.
Yeah,
you texted a picture to Spencer and I one time of your closet.
Tell me you don't have that on Sports Nation.
That was awesome.
Okay.
We haven't had it on you.
Okay.
We needed to pull that up.
I don't know where it started. It just was one day, one thing, and from there, the girls just made a joke out of it. And I can't tell you, I kid you not, I can't tell you how many days I come home from work where my wife didn't see me leave. And I walk in the door and she goes, "You really wore that to work today?" And I just said, "I don't know. I didn't even think twice about it." So obviously I didn't think twice about
man
today.
Problems.
Yeah, there you go.
Honey, get off my swag, honey. That's what you got to say to her.
Yep.
Your team has swag. You guys are killing it right now. I know last Friday lost at San Diego in 5, but other than that, you've won 12 of 13. What are you guys doing right?
Yeah, no, the girls, it's all about the kids. You know, I'm kind of a bystander and just excited to be there. And, you know, we put some things together, but the girls, we just got an outstanding group of girls that have been able to focus on every single match one at a time. And there's a lot of experience there with, you know, Jennifer Hampson, Alexa Gray, Tamber Noble. There's just a solid group of kids with experience. And we're talking football and we're talking injuries. People that have not been in athletics don't understand the value of experience.
Yeah.
And you look at when I played, you know, we lost a national championship my junior year in 5 sets.
2003.
We come back and we returned all this experience. Almost every guy in that lineup was back. We go into 5 sets. We're not rattled at all. We go win the national championship in 5 sets. The experience is so crucial and so valuable.
I'm really happy you said that for the football fans out there. You know, to really show the difference with experience and how much it really helps you. And I think something too. I mean, you guys fall to San Diego, and mm-hmm. you know you guys come back home. You give them some extra time off, right?
Yeah.
And with that experience, with that leadership, they bounce back.
Yeah.
Well, when you have guys like you look at the football situation, right? And how guys are. you know, you lose. Well, how do you bounce back? And then, you know, that lack of maturity or experience, you can kind of keep on going the wrong direction.
Yeah, you know, I'm standing up for my guy Bronco right now, because a lot of people rip on him for, you don't use your practice. I mean, I see it all, and people are just, they don't understand. So we got back on Saturday. We didn't play Saturday. I gave him Saturday, Sunday, and Monday off. And it was a perfect time for us. Then we come home and we play LMU, who, if you follow
right
volleyball,
outside the top 25,
just fell out of the top 25 last week. They'd been in it pretty much all year.
Good team.
And a very good team. And we needed to just regroup. Yep. Just, hey, things are fine. We got after it Tuesday, Wednesday in prep for this match. And the girls responded exactly as I figured they would and exactly as we needed them to.
How tough is that as a coach? I mean, I know things are going great as far as, you know, the win streak. But then you lose and you're like, everybody's running sprints. Everybody. We may have Sunday practice, maybe.
It's amazing. It's amazing to me. No, you're exactly right. It's amazing to me how good life can be. And then in a moment where we barely lost, too, on the road to San Diego in a five-set match, all of a sudden I feel like my world's over. And what did I do? Like, why am I coaching, honey?
Why am I coaching?
What am I doing? We've got to reevaluate everything. And you've got to just stay focused. And I think, you know, that's what we've been able to do. And I have a great staff around me and some, just like I said, some great mature players that are able to just go, yo, you know, the world isn't over.
Right.
You're going to lose matches. And very rarely, you know, maybe in football where they don't play as many, but when you've got these sports where you play a lot of contests,
you'll lose.
Basketball, you're going to lose sometime here or there, and that's okay. Yep. That's fine.
You mentioned that you beat LMU. The second set, I had to do a double take on that. It's like 25-9.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And one thing that sticks out to me as I'm getting ready to jump in and call Saturday's women's volleyball match, excited about that, you're the number one blocking team in the country, and you have the number one blocker, Whitney Young.
Yeah.
Why are you guys so effective at the net?
You know, one, I think our girls pay really, really close attention to what we prepare them for. And I've never, ever gone into a match and felt as the match started like, oh, man, we weren't prepared for what's coming. So the girls know what's coming. They're waiting for it, and they see it, and they're reacting accordingly. And I think that's really been helpful. Then we've got some kids. Whitney Young's lightning fast.
Number one in the country.
It helps Jen Hansen to be 6'7". Alexa Gray is as physical as all can be. I mean, so we've got some great athletes, but they're doing the right things. They're watching the right things and seeing the other side unfold in front of them and then reacting accordingly.
Did you take McGowan-isms of blocking principles and apply that to your coaching? Because BYU is known for being a great blocking men's team.
Yeah, Carl's I was with Carl, a couple hours just this week in the film room. So Carl's helping tremendously with us. He was there at the match last night, and he's a very, very big influence in my life and everything I've done, and we try to adapt the same thing. We're starting in a bunch read. We're helping on the quick, and that helps, too, in women's volleyball. In the middle, a lot of women's players don't see two blockers up in front of them. Right. They're used to just one blocker there, and so we're helping. So now there's more hands in front of them, so all those things help.
One of McGowan's assistant coaches during the run of the late 90s and 2000s is Pepperdine's head coach now. Troy Tanner. What kind of relationship do you have with Troy?
Yeah, Troy was my coach for the 3 years that I was here with Carl. And when Carl retired, Troy left and started a very, very successful club in Southern California. And he's done, now taken over his alma mater. So he's a BYU guy
as a coach. But he got a graduate degree at BYU.
At BYU, and exactly. And
it all starts here.
It all starts
here.
That's what they say.
It ends here.
Hopefully it ends tomorrow for him. But no, Troy and I have a great relationship. I think very, very highly of Troy. He always was great to me, and I joke with his kids. I used to, when I was a red shirt, Troy would go on the road, and his wife would work, and he'd have me babysit his kids because I wasn't traveling.
Nice.
So here's the return missionary. He knows me from my dad from even longer back, you know, when he was a player. I used to go watch Troy. So he's known me, and I'd go babysit his kids. So I have a great relationship with Troy.
That's smart.
A great story.
That's so smart.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, good luck tomorrow, 3 Eastern time, BYU and Pepperdine live on BYU TV and BYU Radio. And thanks for the shirt.
Yes, thank you. Thanks for everything you guys do. Thank you.
Always keeping it real. Sean Olmstead. No one dresses like Sean Olmstead.
No, winner.
I didn't say whether it was good or bad. No one dresses like Sean Olmstead.
There we go.
Approved.
Coming up, the Cougar Whip Around and your tweets. And Brian Logan will say something awesome.
Maybe. Yeah. Just going to focus on this pink shirt.
Yeah,
great.
These are nice.
For you,
these are nice. These are nice. I love it. We'll be back in a minute. BYU Sports Nation is presented in part by DexterLaw.com. Help when you need it most. Jerem Jordan and Brian Logan on a Friday. Game day. Let's hand out a Rise and Shout. Today's Rise and Shout is brought to you by Dexter & Dexter. Help when you need it most. DexterLaw.com. I want to give it to Sierra Parker, the libero for the women's volleyball team, just a junior, a little over halfway through the season, so 2.5 years. She set the rally era, that is since 2001, She's the all-time dig leader in the rally era. She has killed it. She is so good.
And like she's coming back, only a junior.
Yeah, only a junior.
Only a junior.
On a very good
experience.
Team. She gets today's Rising Show.
Experience.
What's your bold prediction for BYU versus Boise State? Keep the tweets coming. We want to thank Bronco Mendenhall and Sean Olmsted for joining us today and everyone on our crew. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at BYU Sports Nation. The show's on demand on BYUSportsNation.com and BYUTV.org/DVR. For Brian Logan, I'm Jeremy Jordan. Shout out to Josh Quezada.
Juice!
Juice! He's at Fresno State.
Orange
BYU Sports
juice.
Nation back at it Monday.
Great juice!
8 Eastern time, countdown to kickoff.
Pineapple juice! Juice!